Hey, boys and girls, I've got a wee story for you. I have some visual aids up at the front, but in order to help you, because I thought some of you would be sitting quite a bit away, I've made a little PowerPoint as well. So the symbols that's on the visual aids will come up on the screens for you to see them as well. So I've got a shape here. Does anybody know what sort of shape this is? Well, Sam? Heart. There you are. Big heart. So I'm going to talk to you today about the heart, boys and girls. I've got a number of hearts with me. All sorts of different ones. So I want you to take a wee look at these. Here's a question. See, who knows? We'll ask the boys and girls first. Does anybody know what the Greek word for heart is? Any of the children in the meeting? Does any of the adults know? Learn a wee bit of Greek this morning. You'll be surprised when you hear. Cardia. Do you know whenever I was down in Dublin that day and I took ill? I took cardiac arrest. So the heart actually goes into an irregular rhythm. So cardiac arrest, that cardia, comes from the Greek word for heart. And those in the congregation, like myself, who have had a wee bit of heart trouble, the man that looks after you at the hospital, you call him a cardiologist. So it comes from the Greek word for heart. So every time in the New Testament you read the word heart, remember that in the original language it's cardia. Where your treasure is, there will your heart, there will your cardia be also. So I want you to try to remember that. You know, God has a lot to say about the heart. There's 765 verses in the Bible. Imagine that. And 833 references in those 765 verses, all to the heart. And if you put an S in the end of it, there's another 111 verses with another 113 references. So God has a lot to say about the heart. And God has a lot to say about your heart, boys and girls. And that's what I want you to think about with me this morning. We can say, you know, that the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Do you remember the verse that I emphasized in the reading to you this morning? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And what that verse means, it doesn't mean that God's not interested in your outward appearance. Sometimes people try to interpret the verse that way. God is interested in your outward appearance. The Bible has a lot to say about our outward appearance and how we should appear as Christians. But what the verse is teaching is that God can see in a way that we can't see, because we can only see the outward. It's only God can see the heart. It's only God can see the inward. Sometimes when you go to get a heart checkup, they use scans. So they can see right inside. They can see your heart and see what sort of condition it's in. But remember this, boys and girls, God can see what your heart is like today. Whenever the Bible talks about the heart, in the main, it's not the muscle that's right there in the middle of the chest. It's that muscle is the center of your physical well-being. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about your emotions and your affections. It's talking about how you are morally and spiritually before God. The spiritual heart is at the very center of our spiritual well-being before God. So the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord sees your heart. It's not a sobering thought. I can't see what your heart's like today. I can't see right inside and see the sort of thoughts that you're having. But God can see your heart. So what I have to do sometimes, I have to go to get a checkup at the hospital. Remember that fellow I told you about earlier? The cardiologist. So what we're going to do today is check up your heart. Take a wee look at your heart and see what it's like. So there's all sorts of hearts mentioned in the Bible, boys and girls. So here's the first one I'm going to talk about. The black heart or the dark heart. In the book of Jeremiah, it says the heart is deceitful above all things. That word deceitful means it can't be trusted. So remember that you can't even trust your own heart. It's not even that you can't trust the heart of somebody else. You can't even trust your own heart. And that word deceitful, it's linked to Jacob. It's a very interesting study, that. It's referring back to Jacob because he was a deceiver. He was a twister. So it's saying there are the hearts of Jacob. Just like Jacob was a deceiver, so too is your heart, boys and girls. So the reality is we don't even know ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, the first mention to the Bible and the Bible to the heart is that the heart of men was, or the thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continually. So there's the very first mention, and it reminds us of the wickedness of our heart. And I want to stress that to you, boys and girls. This lets us see how we stand spiritually before God. Our heart's black and it's dark with sin. And men try all sorts of things in order to try and cleanse their heart. They try to go through religious rituals and ceremonies, and they try to pay money into the church, and they do all sorts of things to try to make their hearts right before God. But all of those things, boys and girls, end in failure. Now here's the second heart. What does that look like? Can you see it? Looks like a wall, doesn't it? Made of stones. So heart, boys and girls, this is talking about the hard heart. I wonder, is that the sort of heart you have? A heart that's hard. Hard towards God. Hard towards the Bible. A heart that's hard towards the gospel. How sad that is. Do you know, whenever the Lord Jesus was on earth, he healed a man that had a withered hand. And he healed that man on the Sabbath day. And some of the Pharisees moaned and complained and criticized. And the Bible says he was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts. And maybe as the Lord looks around on this meeting today, he has to be grieved too. Maybe there's some in this meeting and your heart is hard. You remember Pharaoh? The Bible says despite what God was doing in the land, God was displaying his power, the mighty miracles. It was evident that Jehovah was at work. But the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And maybe you're doing the same, boys and girls. Maybe mums and dads as well. Do you know how you harden your heart? Every time you reject the gospel. You've heard the gospel so often. All of you here have heard the gospel from you were a child. And every time you hear the gospel and refuse it, refuse the invitation, refuse to let the Lord Jesus be your Savior, every day you reject God's offer of mercy, what you're doing, boys and girls, is you're hardening your heart against God and against his word. And that's a very solemn thing. It's a very fearful thing, because every time you harden your heart, you know what happens? It makes it more difficult for you to be saved and to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a great exhortation in both the Old and New Testaments, and it's, today if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. And I want to encourage you with that today. Don't harden your heart anymore against God. The Bible says of Josiah, as a young fellow, that he had a tender heart. And I pray God might give that to you this morning. So here's the third heart. A heart with arrows through it. Whenever Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he was preaching to those that just a short time before had rejected the Lord Jesus and had crucified him upon the cross. And as Peter preached the message that day on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. You're pricked with something. There's a sharp point that goes through you and leaves a hole. So that's why we have the arrows. They were pricked in their hearts. Maybe there's somebody in the meeting today, and that's happening to you. Do you know what that means, boys and girls, to be pricked in your heart as you hear the gospel being preached? It means you're being convicted of your sin, about the way that you're living, and of your need of Jesus Christ as your Savior. The arrows of God's conviction have struck into your heart and have struck home to your heart. And how that evidences itself is sometimes people are troubled, they're worried about their soul and about eternity. They can't sleep at night. And if that's happening in your life, I want you to know, boys and girls, today, that you're under conviction. The Spirit of God is doing that. The Spirit of God's working in your heart. But remember, you can't be saved just when you want. You can only be saved when the Spirit of God is speaking. And God warns us in His Word that my Spirit shall not always strive with man. So there's the pricked heart, or the heart under conviction. So here's another one for you. There's a heart with a door. That's the open heart. Do you remember the story of Lydia? She was in Philippi. She came from Thyatira, which is in modern-day Turkey. She was quite a wealthy woman. She was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple. She was among that group of women down by the riverside whenever Paul and his missionary team came into Philippi, and they went down that first Sabbath day, and Paul preached the gospel unto them. And the Bible says that Lydia's heart was opened. Can I ask you, boys and girls, mums and dads, will you allow the Lord to open your heart in this meeting today? You know, it's something I can't explain. In fact, it's something that no Christian, no minister can explain. People can resist the working of God in their life, the working of the Spirit of God. That can't be explained, but it does happen. So I want to ask you, but will you allow the Lord to open your heart so that the Lord Jesus can come in to be your Savior? Do you remember that great memory verse that you learned, Revelation 3:20? It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So that's a picture. The Lord Jesus is standing at your heart's door. And what's He doing as He stands at your heart's door? He's knocking, boys and girls. And the reason why He's knocking is because He wants you to open the door and let Him come in to be your Savior. Do you know what will happen if you open your heart's door today? The Lord Jesus will come in to your heart and He'll be your Savior. So I'm praying that there'll be some in this meeting that will have an open heart. They'll open their heart and let the Lord Jesus come in. Here's another one for you. Jesus in your heart. I didn't really want to put a picture of the Lord Jesus up there in the heart. I thought that mightn't just look the best. So, Jesus in your heart. There's a lovely verse, boys and girls, and it says that Christ may dwell in your heart, and that's the word cardia, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You know, it's a great wonder. Something really wonderful takes place. Whenever you get saved, the Lord Jesus actually comes in to your heart. Do you remember the previous picture? The door, the heart's door open. So whenever you open your heart's door, the Lord Jesus comes in, and He enters in to your heart, and He comes into your heart to dwell. There's something in the Bible we're warned about. We need to be careful. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Whenever you're a Christian, the Lord Jesus dwells within by His Spirit, and that's one of the reasons why we have to treat our bodies very, very carefully. So the Lord Jesus wants to dwell inside you. He wants especially to dwell in your heart. You know the little chorus we sometimes sing? Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in and take my sins away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. So I pray that you'll pray that prayer. Pray it earnestly. You need to pray it from the very depth of your heart. And if you do that, boys and girls, you'll be saved and your sins will be forgiven. There's a very famous picture of Revelation 3:20 painted by a man called Holman Hunt. The picture was called The Light of the World. It was hanging one time for exhibition in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. A little boy was standing looking up at it, and he said to his dad, "Daddy, why won't they let the Saviour in?" So I want you to think of that today. Why won't you let the Saviour in? What is it that's keeping you back from letting the Lord Jesus into your heart to be your Saviour? Now, we're doing very well. Here's another one. I'm going the wrong way. This way. So here's a heart with trust across the front of it. So this is a trusting heart, boys and girls. And this is how you get saved. This is how the Lord Jesus comes into your heart. You need to trust Him. And trust Him only. Trust Him completely. You need to put your faith. Do you remember that great verse? Paul said to the jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There's some lovely verses about a trusting heart in the Bible. You know those words, Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And I want to emphasize the words, "all thine heart." Whenever you pray to the Lord, you have to do it really earnestly and sincerely. When you pray to the Lord to save you, you have to do it with all your heart. You have to really mean it if you want Him to come in and take your sins away. So let me stress that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, there's another great verse in the New Testament about trusting the Lord. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So there's how you get saved, boys and girls. Believe in the Lord with all thine heart. You're to confess Him with your lips. That's an evidence that you really are saved. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. You have to really mean it. And it's the word cardia again. Believe in your cardia. Believe in your heart. Then thou shalt be saved. So I simply want today to encourage you, if you've never done it before, all the times you've heard the gospel message in Sunday school and church, I want you to come today and believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord with all your heart. Put your trust in Him today to be your Saviour. And I have one more for you. There's what we'll call a surrendered heart. And I'll just finish quickly with this one. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, "My son, give me thine heart." And boys and girls, that's what the Lord wants you to do with your heart. There's all sorts of things in this world, all the pleasures, all the sins of this world, crying out for your heart, crying out for you to run after them with all your heart. There's all sorts of people, sometimes not the right sort of people. Be careful about the friends that you make. There's some people wants your heart and they lead you in the wrong direction. They'll lead you away from the Lord and His house and His word and the things of God and the paths of righteousness. So remember that, boys and girls. There's all sorts of things and all sorts of people crying out for you to give them your heart. But the most important thing for you to do as a child is give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to Him completely. "My son or my daughter, give me thine heart." So there's nothing better you could do today on this Sunday school prize giving day. Nothing better than to give your heart to the Lord. You're thinking sometimes, you know, coming up to Christmas, we're thinking what we can give to each other, give our presents and so on. Did you ever think of what you could give to the Lord? Well, the first thing the Lord wants you to give to Him is your heart. Do you know why the Lord wants your heart? Why He asks for your heart and doesn't ask for your property? Assume, you think of all the list of things that could have been in that verse. The Lord could have said, "Give me this and give me that." The reason He asks for your heart is this. The person that has your heart has all of you. If you give your heart to somebody, they have complete control. When the Lord is your heart, then He sits in your heart like the King. He rules in your heart. So that's why the Lord asks for your heart. If you give your heart to Him, He knows He has complete control of your life. And remember that when you become a Christian, that's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to give your heart to him. He wants you to give complete control of your life to him. So I want to encourage you to do that. Every Christian, from the youngest to the oldest in the meeting, give your heart to the Lord today. So there are some hearts. Remember I said 765 verses. So there's a lot of other references to the heart and a lot of other types of heart that are spoken of in the Bible, but I pray the Lord might speak to you through these today. We're going to sing, just as our closing hymn, 411.